91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour we revisit with just about the best technology expert in the field. He's David Pogue, who's written books on the topic, was the New York Times technology columnist for 13 years, and is well known for his work on PBS. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. Pogue's now branched into more tips for an easier time of it with Pogue's Basics. Life, essential tips and shortcuts that no one bothers to tell you about. So get ready to learn things that might make you feel a little left out in the common sense department. Like how your home water heater is a bandit, how a smartphone can remember where you parked, or how to avoid the extended warranty hustle, and why not label your desks power cords. Save time, get savvy with David Pogue after the news. And it is time for today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman with you on this Monday afternoon. Well, today's guest is the most understandable tech expert for the contemporary Joe or Jane. He's award-winning science journalist David Pogue.
Or at least for those of us who were once considered contemporary. He returns with more of the sort of tips that make you feel as though you've missed something that others know about.
Like getting a Find Your Car phone app to use at the mall or the airport. Makes sense.
Or if soup is scalding, to first take a taste from the cooler perimeter.
Well, you get the picture. David Pogue is back with us via Skype. Welcome, David. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Hi, great to have you back. So just like your last book, which gave us all those tips and shortcuts for simplifying the technology in our lives, how did you know all this stuff?
Well, I didn't. The sad truth is that I'm better at technology than I am at life. So I had a lot of help with the Pogue's Basics Life book. My wife chipped in, my mom chipped in, and at one point I actually announced the book to my Twitter followers and asked them to submit their favorite little life hacks in exchange for a free autographed book. So I had a lot of help on this one.
But you only have 1.5 million Twitter followers.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Yeah, you got to step that up.
David, I suppose a part of this book, a big part of it, would be distinguishing real time savers as opposed to some of the stuff you see on the internet, and you could wind up ruining a device or an item.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Life hacks, as they've come to be known, are plentiful on the internet. They get emailed around and Facebooked around all the time. But what I discovered is that over half of them don't work. I mean, they just don't work. They're appealing to us because they seem like a silver bullet that solves some problem. You know, there's this thing about to reheat old pizza. Put it in the microwave, but to prevent it from getting mushy, put a glass of water in there too. I'm like, what? Put a glass of water will make it more mushy, not less mushy. So anyway, so that was one of the values that I brought to this, I think, is that I actually tested all of these things, and all the ones in the book actually work.
Well, we'll get to a lot of the ones that work, but talk about the Dorito ones with the campfire.
Yeah, some of them, I mean, that one might work, but it's just so goofy. So there's this tip going around that when you're on a camping trip and in a pinch you can't find any kindling for your fire, you can light Doritos.
Maybe you could rub two Doritos upon each other.
Right.
That's right. Like Doritos are going to be more plentiful than scrap wood on a camping trip.
Okay, well, I guess we could start anywhere. I want to start in the kitchen. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, cleaning the microwave and the blender. Let's just start there.
Yeah, well, the blender is, if you think about it, a perfect cleaning device. It has a whirring blade and it gets into high froth. So, yeah, just put a couple drops of soap and some water into a blender and run it. And it does an amazing job at cleaning itself. As for the microwave, put a bowl of water in there and nuke it on high for like 5 minutes. And what it will do, it will blast the walls of the oven with hot, hot steam. Do be careful when you open it. And it'll make everything that's caked on there easy to wipe off, just, I mean, incredibly easy to wipe off with a paper towel or a sponge.
When you're recognized, or maybe you're in airports or something, are people always trying to hand you tips?
I'm afraid it's the opposite. I'm afraid I'm the guy who observes other people doing things wrong.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know, you could do that a lot more efficiently if I'm that guy.
Okay. Joe said, oh, we can't just say and what about, but I'm going to keep saying and what about, because I think they're great, you know? Okay. The cutting the onions, peeling the garlic, and then getting rid of the smell.
Yeah, well, I did a lot of research into the onion thing because there's so many tips on how to avoid crying when you cut onion. They say chew bread while you cut, chew gum, keep a spoon in your mouth, breathe only through your nose. Those don't work. What happens is when you're cutting an onion, you're releasing this sulfuric chemical that when it hits your face, it reacts with your tears. Your tears are trying to flush it out. So the idea is to keep those gases from the onion away from you or to minimize them. So the tips that do work, the first one is chill the onion before you cut it and use a sharp knife. That minimizes the number of cells you're ripping open and releasing the gas. But also if there's a way to get the gases away from your face, a fan or your stove's exhaust fan or even blow at it with your mouth gets the gases away from you. And I actually found that cutting next to a flame, like a candle or your stove, burns off the gas and stops you from crying.
That makes sense. Our telephone line, if you'd like to join in with a comment or question, that's easy enough. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Also email. That's radio@WLRN.org. Now, David, one of the things that struck me in the book, thinking there could possibly be some negative aspects to this, is that picture yourself in the lot, you're trying to find your car, and you're using your remote ignition switch. You want to make your horn sound using that. And if you hold the transmitter to your head, the little transmitter that your key is attached to, you increase the range of that transmitter. First, how is that done? The second, it can't be too good for your head.
It's when you hold the fob, the remote fob, against
That's
your flesh.
That's the correct word for it, yeah.
Yeah, it turns the liquid into your body into sort of an amplifier, into a giant antenna. It's most useful when you're walking away from your car and you're not sure if you locked it. You know, instead of running all the way back, you have a much longer window now when you can lock it. But you hold it up to your flesh and hit the lock button. In terms of is it risky? No, it's not, because it's radio waves of the sort that
it's in your pocket anyway.
Right, and that you as a radio professional are immersed in 8 hours a day.
Right.
So radio waves don't hurt you.
Well, we didn't finish the garlic and the onions. Okay, that was how to peel an onion without getting the tears. But the garlic, how to break open the garlic, how to peel it, and then the most important thing is once you've done the cooking is getting rid of the smell.
Yeah, this is really good. These are quick. To husk garlic really quickly, put the cloves inside of two bowls, mouth to mouth, and shake hard. Incredibly, that peels off that papery outside in, 5 seconds and leaves just the part you want. And then the best way to get the garlic smell off your hands, believe it or not, they do sell these stainless steel, quote, bars of soap. And the stainless steel does get rid of the smell. But if you don't have one of those, toothpaste gets it right off your fingers.
Hmm. You just wipe it, you just rub it, and then wash it off.
Yeah, wash your hands with a tiny dab of toothpaste as though it's soap. And it whisks away the garlic smell.
Maybe the little fine bit of grit in the toothpaste takes away the oil of the garlic.
And prevents unpleasant tartar and decay.
Exactly. Okay, this is one of my pet peeves, cucumbers, since it looks like, for me, I think they have a shelf life in my fridge of about 10 minutes. So talk about how we can keep them longer.
Yeah, cucumbers are kind of a catch-22. If you leave them out, they get soft and disgusting instantly. But if you put them in the fridge, they'll get soft and wrinkly very quickly. So the secret is to wrap the cucumber in paper towel, put that in a plastic bag in the fridge, and you, after a week or even 10 days, it will still look absolutely new. And my favorite part of this is if you've cut the cucumber, if you've used only half of it for a salad, if the paper towel is touching the cut end, that end does not get slimy. It stays brand new and dry.
And you don't moisten the paper towel.
Oh, no. You want to wick. You're trying to wick the moisture.
Precisely.
Okay.
Actually, it works on scallions too. Those are something that go bad quickly in the freshener shelves.
And lettuce, cut lettuce. Lay it, if you buy, for example, if you buy lettuce in those clear plastic containers from the grocery store,
right. Just
lay a piece of paper towel across the top and it will not get slimy.
Okay, this is a good one about, because everybody fights with that ketchup bottle to get the ketchup out and stands it on its head and all that, but they don't have to do that.
Well, luckily most are squeezed now. But...
Oh, okay, well. Right.
But even the squeeze ones, though, you get to a certain point where there's ketchup, you know, an inch and a half of ketchup stuck in the bottom, and you can't squeeze that out. So this is so brilliant. This is my mom's tip. I love this. You make sure the lid is on tightly. You hold the ketchup bottle from the bottom, any kind, plastic or glass, and you whip it around you in a big circle, straight arm, like a windmill, one or two times, and centrifugal force makes the ketchup fly into the neck of the bottle ready to pour. It's so efficient. I mean, you look a little funny, but it works so well.
Yeah, you might need an orthopedist after that.
Yeah. This is strange. Somebody wrote in, Evan, that some time ago, he said the car guys referenced increasing the range of the remote by putting it in your mouth.
It's the same exact idea.
Okay.
You're just putting it in contact with the liquidy flesh of your body. I prefer the cheek. Online, you can read about holding it under your chin. I don't think the mouth does anything more or less than holding
it. Makes it wet.
Makes it wet and makes you look even sillier.
Our number, 1-800-743-9576, if you'd like to join in. First caller, this is Mark in Fort Lauderdale. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I have an onion story that was pretty funny. I came home from work one day, and my wife was cutting onions in the kitchen making dinner, and I was laughing my butt off when I saw her wearing ski goggles while she was cutting the onion.
Those work.
They do work.
And she knows what she's doing. I laughed. I almost fell on the floor laughing. It was so funny.
She's on to something. Ski goggles work really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty good. All right. I'm going to go listen to the rest of your tips. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling. We're speaking with David Pogue, author, journalist, award-winning tech expert, founder of Yahoo Tech, correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning, and more. We'll give more when we come back. Pogue's Basics, Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts that No One Bothers to Tell You for Simplifying Your Day.
And it is today's topical currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We return with award-winning science journalist David Pogue. We're talking about his book, Pogue's Basic Life, Essential Tips for Shortcuts for Simplifying Your Life.
Okay, I'm going to move on to travel. All right. Cheaper hotel rooms on the phone than the cell phone than the computer.
Ooh, this is a good one. This will save you a lot of money. It turns out that if you use hotels.com or HipMonk or one of the travel sites on your smartphone, you will be quoted a lower price for an upcoming hotel stay than if you used your computer. And the reason is that this is for stays that are coming up soon, a few days from now. And the reason is that, of course, all hotels have unsold rooms left over as the date approaches, and they would really love to get those rented out. So they're trying to appeal to the business traveler, to the millennial, to spontaneous people who are out and about with their phones and might realistically want to snap up one of these rooms.
When's the last time you've had a spontaneous urge to get a hotel room?
Oh, I've had changes of plans and
yeah.
Hotel.
David, what about that app, Hotel Tonight? Is that on the same, works on the same theory?
Yeah, that's another way for hotels to unload rooms at the last minute, and I would assume that also gives you the same kinds of discounts that you would get if you used, you know, even the hotel's own website.
Well, speaking of travel, in the book you talk about if you're out about 54 or 52 days from your air tickets. If you buy them 52 days before, 54, before the flight, you'll get the best possible price.
Yeah,
How does that work?
They've done this these studies. It turns out that it's really not true. The prices are high, start going up before the flight, starting a month out. So, you know, people would say book on a Tuesday or fly midweek or time it for 52 days. The bottom line is you might save money by booking like 6 months in advance, but chances are your plans might change in that time. So really a month in advance or a little more is probably the best time.
Okay, and so once we get that flight and we get on the plane near the last person for one reason or another, finding room for the carry-on.
Okay, this is my own invention. Okay. And it's going to sound ridiculously obvious, but I'm telling you, I travel so much, they will say, oh, I'm sorry, all the carry-on racks are full, but if you do a little work, you can find room for your carry-on. People lay their jacket flat, and that constitutes taking up a whole space. Or they'll put a laptop bag on its side. So turn the laptop bag upright or put somebody's jacket on top of a carry-on bag already in the rack. I always do it politely. I always say, excuse me, is this somebody's sweater? And someone will say, that's mine. I'm like, do you mind if I put it on top of my bag so I can have room? And they always say yes. The point is people have no incentive to put stuff into those overhead racks efficiently. They're just happy to have found a spot. But you do. You come along later, you have an incentive to repack those bins, and you can almost always find room.
Now, how should you fold that sweater or that jacket that you're moving on top of your bag in order to avoid wrinkling it?
This is really good, too. It's going to be really hard to describe over the radio, but this is for gentlemen who are traveling with or women who are traveling with a blazer or a jacket, a dress jacket. You can put it in your luggage without wrinkling it. And there's a tailor showed me how to do this. You stand facing the jacket with your arms in its shoulders, as though your hands are your shoulders. You fold it in half. I can't do this over the radio. But there is a way. There is a way to fold it. And I do this all the time. You basically turn the thing inside out and then over on itself and put the whole thing in a dry cleaning plastic bag. And that will prevent the friction that will give it wrinkles once it's in the bag.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I didn't know wrinkles were caused by friction.
Sure. When two fabrics are jostling across the country in an airplane against each other, that's going to only impress the wrinkles more.
Ah.
Again, our telephone number, if you'd like to join in, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN.
Well, lots more on travel, but we have an emailer, Clay. Okay, you ready for this? Because Joe did it in his promo. If you want to sharpen scissors, you say snip a piece of sandpaper, right?
Right.
Well, Clay says, I'm a huge fan of Mr. Pogue, but there's one error in the book's advice. He recommends sharpening scissors by cutting sandpaper. This isn't a good idea as it begins to create a back bevel on each blade. The faces of scissor blades which face each other, the faces which are touching each other when the scissors are closed, should remain flat. The sharpening should only be done on the narrower edges, faces, but cutting sandpaper doesn't do that. Once or twice probably wouldn't hurt much, but if you do this often, soon your scissors won't work at all. Thanks a million to David for all his advice over the years. I'm sure he saved me thousands. This just happens to be one that was glitched. Okay, are you aware of that?
No, I sit corrected. I mean, I did try it out, and it did work, but of course I didn't do this over the life of the scissors.
Right. He's saying if you do it, you know, over time, it'll collect.
Wow. Amazing the experts you can find by just having a radio show.
Yes, isn't it? All right, so I want to get back to traveling. Okay, so we finally get there, and now we have jet lag, but we can avoid that.
Yeah, there are definitely tips that can prevent jet lag. Probably the biggest one is start shifting your sleep schedule in the correct direction and your eating schedule in the correct direction before your flight. So if you're flying east, like from the United States to Europe, you start going to bed earlier and eating your meals earlier. Reverse it if you're going the other direction. and, you know, drink a lot on the flight. Don't drink alcohol. Let the sun help you once you land. The research shows that there is no particular diet that helps you with jet lag. That's all baloney. So, I mean, really the big one is to try to start shifting your clock while you're still home.
And then after the airplane trip, how do we get our text messages?
Oh, yeah, this is a weird one. What happens when you're off the network, like when you're on a plane, your cell phone tries to check in with Verizon or T-Mobile or whatever it is every couple of seconds. But after a while, it says, wait, I'm not on the network. I'll relax and only try every 30 seconds, and then every minute, and then once every half hour. So it gradually stops checking to the point that when you land, you might have this huge backlog of text messages and emails that it hasn't received because it's given up trying to check with the network. So what you do is, when you land, you send yourself a text message. And that tells the phone, oh, you're back on the cellular network.
Huh.
And you'll get this huge barrage of all the text messages that were piled up waiting for you to land.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Because normally, if you don't do that, it takes a really long time for them to all come out.
That's right. Many people are aware of, you know, landing at an airport and 20 minutes later, there's this huge flood of text
messages. Exactly. Exactly. Now, this one, I have to admit, I knew. When there weren't many in the book that I did. When you pick up your friends or your colleagues at the airport, do not pick them up at arrivals. Pick them up at departures.
Yes.
Unless they're checked baggage.
No. Well, just have them go upstairs.
That's right. If they have baggage, tell them to grab the bag and then go back upstairs.
Okay.
And the reason is that at pickup, at arrivals, there are guards shooing you away if you're in the car picking somebody up. You're, hey, get out of here. Keep circling.
Right.
So if you don't want to circle, go to departures, because there aren't people idling and sitting waiting. They just drop people off and leave. So the airports don't care if there are cars along that curb. So, yeah, meet your passengers at departures instead of arrivals.
Well, now I'm afraid that we told everybody. And now that's going to be crowded, and they're going to start having those guards there too.
Huh. Well, if the power of your listenership is that big, then I'm thrilled.
No, but the power of your Twitter followers and your book is that big.
Do you want to continue the scissor sharpening controversy?
Sure.
Floyd and Miramar, hi.
Yes, I just want to comment on what the lady said. She's incorrect. Book is actually right within the sense that the scissors does not rub against the sandpaper on the side, so it will not grind the metal down, if that is what she's talking about. It's just a cotton head that is touching the sandpaper, and it does work.
Aha. So then Clay is wrong. No, that was an emailer. So he said it wouldn't work. So
well,
what does
we'll
that
let
mean?
It rest anyway.
So what does that mean, David?
It means that the book is correct, and I am vindicated.
I've been a mechanic for over 40 years, and I've worked in the garment industry back and forth.
Oh.
Wow.
And I know this to be a fact.
Well, thank you, sir. You've rescued my day.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Our number, 1-800-743-9576, if you'd like to join in. 1-800-743-WLRN. Also, Bonnie can take your emails. That's radio@WLRN.org.
Okay, this one is totally amazing before we take our break. How do we know which side of the highway the exit is on?
These are my favorite tips, is the ones where some designer put a feature there for our benefit.
And never told us.
Never told us. The word never got out. So, right, the highway signs, those green highway signs all over North America that say, you know, Poughkeepsie, 23 miles. On the top of it is a tiny sign with the exit number, exit 23. It turns out that the side of the big sign that the little number sign is on, the right or the left, tells you which side of the highway the exit will be on. So if it says exit 23 on the left side of the Poughkeepsie sign, the exit will be on the left, so you can get ready.
Yeah, you always assume it's going to be on the right, and then you get snookered by one on the left.
That's right. Well, now you've got some
But
some
now
advanced
we know
plan.
How.
Okay, yeah.
All right, well, that was a good one. And we're going to take a short break on today's Topical Currents, speaking with award-winning tech expert David Pogue. about his book, Pogue's Basics, Life. Right back.
And we're back. It's today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and award-winning science journalist David Pogue. He's in many media, including PBS and also the monthly column in the Scientific American. And, of course, his new book is Pogue's Basics, Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts for Simplifying Your Life. David, one way to really look like a real idiot in a restaurant, perhaps, is if you've forgotten your glasses and you want to read the menu, you can actually use your eye with your hands up to your eye like an old pinhole camera.
Thank you so much for asking me about this. This is my favorite tip from the book. Just writing this book, coming away with this one tip, made it worth it. Yes, when you are over 40, you will find that your eyesight starts to go. And if you need glasses and you are caught without them in a restaurant, or for me, it's always in a hotel shower, you know, and there's four bottles on the shelf with tiny labeling, you can't tell which one is the shampoo. There is a way to use the pinhole camera effect to be able to see again. Your listeners can try this right now. What you do is make a tiny, curl up your index finger against your thumb, make a tiny pinhole, and hold it right up against your eye. Hold your hand against your eye and peek through that tiny pinhole. All of a sudden, you will find that everything is in focus, even if you normally need glasses. Suddenly, you can read small type, medicine bottles, shampoo bottles. It's the absolute greatest, most news you can use science that I know of.
Oh, yeah, that one is great. And wait, I just thought of another one when you said that.
I'm fond of saying that if you come away from this book with only one life-changing tip, then it was a really bad book.
No, I know what I was thinking when you said the small print, how when you have a rental car, I mean, I inevitably pull into the wrong side of the gas station because it tells us right on the car which side the gas tank is on. I didn't know that.
That's right. So this also goes in that category of things that designers put in there and we never noticed. Right. On your fuel gauge, on the E to F thing, on every car, there's a tiny picture of a gasoline pump with an arrow pointing either to the right or to the left. And its purpose is to tell you which side of this car has the gas tank. And so, yeah, you probably know on your own car which side the gas tank is on, but if rental car,
let's hope so.
Or a borrowed car, then it's really useful to know, oh, on this car, it's on the right.
Well, we have quite a controversy developing.
Yes,
here.
We do. I think we're back to the scissors.
Clay wants to defend his scissors tip. Clay, go ahead.
Hello. This is another one that's hard to defend on the radio. And before I get started, I wanted to say to Mr. Pogue, the highway sign one has saved me from getting lost 100 times once I learned that. Oh, it's on the left. Oh, it's on the right. I tell that to people all the time. Scissors, though. Think about the two faces of the scissors that are touching each other when the scissors are closed.
Okay.
Those faces should be perfectly flat. In other words, some cutting edges are beveled on both sides, like most kitchen knives are beveled on both sides.
Yep.
Some are beveled only on one side, like a chisel. So the other side should remain flat. If you think about it, when you cut sandpaper, you're removing material from the flat faces that would be touching each other when the scissors are closed. And if you continue to remove material from the parts that touch each other when they're closed, eventually they won't touch each other and your scissors won't cut. Scissors should never have a back bevel, and that's what that creates.
And Clay, what is your background in scissor mechanics?
Woodworking, sharpening.
Ah,
more in sharpening metal generally than scissors specifically.
That is how you begin to sharpen a chisel. Is first you rub the flat side and then you go up to the bevel.
Yeah, and same thing for scissors. You just think of the faces that touch each other at the flat side, and the little tiny narrow edges are the ones that are the bevels.
Well, I think it's settled then. I think from now on, I'm going to hire a professional scissors sharpener.
The guy is Ron. The sharpening pro is a guy named Ron Hock, H-O-C-K. He knows more than anyone on earth.
All right.
Okay.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Clay.
Thank you, Clay.
Okay.
Fascinating. I think this should become one of the presidential candidate issues that they discuss on stage.
Yes, really. That would make it interesting.
And Mr. Trump, what's your thought on the sandpaper scissors trick?
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Let's go to Mark in Fort Lauderdale. Mark, you're up with your big idea here.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid the scissor controversy there. But I had a question. How do you clean oil or anything that's dripped from your car off your pavers or your driveway?
Mm. Cat litter.
What?
That absorbs it, but what if it's already stained there? How do you clean those off?
Hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what. I just Googled it for you. And it says, okay, step one is cover it with cat litter. That's when it's a fresh stain. Two, saturate the stain with cleaning solution like liquid dish soap that cuts the grease and breaks up the stain. Then scrub it with a quality wire scrub brush in a circular motion. Add soap as necessary. And then you can also scrub it with a dry laundry detergent like Tide or something like that. And somebody also says, Coca-Cola, the phosphorus in the soda is like an acid, and it eats up the grease.
Oh.
So I think those are probably your best options.
Yeah, I've heard the Coke on different things there, so it works on that, too. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Works on your teeth, too, apparently.
Yeah, your stomach, intestines, everything else on the way through there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
All right.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. Here's one. Speaking of driving still, talk about staying awake behind the wheel when you're sleepy.
Ooh, that can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It can. Oh, an amazing number of people admit to having driven sleepy within the last month. So the idea here is stimulation and unpleasant stimulation. So if you can listen to music, sure, but it needs to be music that you don't like. You know, if you're a classical person, put on heavy metal. Or, you know, eating something is good, but it has to be something that's a little unpleasant. I use Altoids. Altoids are, it's very hard to fall asleep with an Altoid in your mouth. Those curiously strong mints, they sort of keep you stimulated. Also, you know, the wrong temperature will also keep you awake. People put on the air conditioner, people roll down the windows, make it uncomfortably cold, and you won't fall asleep.
What about singing?
Singing, yeah, that's mental stimulation. If you can keep it up, by all means. But the disadvantage is that's requiring active participation on your part instead of the passive stimulation of sucking a strong mint or the cold air.
Okay. All right. Okay, there was one more. Oh, the Find Your Car app.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about this. So, I mean, the smartphone is a great gift to mankind. But there are so many things that it does that we're not taking advantage of. And this is one of them. These apps are free. There are so many of them. You can just do a search for, you know, Find My Car, and you'll find a bunch of them. And what they do is when you get out of the car, you open the app and say, this is where I was. In fact, the good ones even do that automatically. They remember where you parked by noticing the change in your speed. And then when you come and you look for your car again in the parking area, you open the app and it displays this big arrow like a compass. And you literally walk through the garage or the parking structure or the parking lot to your car being led by your phone. It uses GPS and they're absolutely fantastic. Highly recommended.
That sounds great. All right. Well, that looks interesting. The plumber.
I'll just throw this out too while we're on that topic. So I also think that people need to start thinking of the phone's camera as a more temporary memory jogger. So people are used to taking photos to keep forever, but you should also take pictures of, for example, the sign of the area where you parked. Oh, level G3.
Yeah.
So you won't have to remember. Or take a picture of your children when you arrive at an amusement park, so you'll have a record of what they were wearing in case they get lost.
Ooh.
Take a picture of your luggage, so you remember just how damaged it was before the airline messed it up. You know, there's so many things that are worth snapping just as a memory jogger, and you'll be glad later.
While you're talking about the children snapping their picture, what they were wearing, you have someone else about if someone else is picking up your child, how
right
to make sure that the right person is getting your child.
Yeah, I love this one. We actually put this one into place with our own kids. So beforehand, you're going to tell both your kid and the adult who will doing the substitute picking up a password, you know, rainbow ice cream or something. And you tell your kid, don't let anyone pick you up unless they know the pickup password, rainbow ice cream. It's very simple, and it lets you rest easy that some stranger is not going to talk your kid into a car.
So one we had that somebody called in, a plumber, suggested that in order to sharpen the blades of your garbage disposal, you use ice.
Huh.
Had you heard that?
Okay. No, I hadn't.
I could see it cleaning it out, but sharpening metal with ice, I don't know, but maybe.
Maybe we'll have Clay call back and tell us.
How would that not just continue to dull the blades by having to chop through it?
Well, we do have some time left. If you'd like to join in, our number 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576. And email radio@wlrn.org.
We're speaking with David Pogue, author, journalist, award-winning tech expert. His latest book is Pogue's Basics Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts for Simplifying Your Day. Of course, that no one bothers to tell you. One last break. We'll be right back.
And it is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and award-winning science journalist David Pogue. We're talking about his book, Pogue's Basics, Life, Essential Tips and Shortcuts for Simplifying Your Life. We'll try another caller. This is Lucille in Miami Beach. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon all. I just wanted to say one thing, David. I of course, I live in Miami Beach, and I have a friend from Canada who comes down quite often during the winter months, and he always says, pick me up on the departure level. So you're right in that respect, but they do come and, you know, shoo you away, you know, especially since September 11th. You can't stay in any one area for very long.
It might depend on the airport.
There's still less traffic, though.
Yes. No, that's correct. But I've had to go around like 3 times if, you know, we don't time it exactly right. So you're right in that it's less traffic, you know, to pick someone up, but they will shoo you away. You can't just sit there.
Okay.
You know?
Well,
yeah, but...
thanks for pouring ice water on that one.
well, lukewarm water, not exactly ice.
Just kidding, Lucille. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great day, y'all.
Thank you. I mean, I will say that I do this constantly, this departures pickup thing, and I have not done it at the Miami airport, but I stand behind that one at most airports.
Yeah. Well, Miami's pretty tough. I've done it there, though, and it gives you a little more
time. They're just not as in-your-face about getting the move.
Right. Oh, yeah. Guess what? Clay wrote back, ice will not sharpen disposal blades, but it's not likely to dull them much either. A mix of lots of ice and some baking soda together will clean and deodorize wonderfully, though.
Clay is correct. During the break, I actually Googled this. And it's
Clay needs to have his own column, I think.
I think we need Pogue's Basics, Clay's Sharpening.
Yeah, so what did you find?
Exactly what Clay said. So ice is an extremely expensive and ineffective way of breaking up grease buildup. It's a good for cleaning the blades,
right?
But it does not sharpen the blades.
Okay. This is a really great one before we take more calls, which I did not know, is how to erase. Okay, so we're leaving a message and we're in the heat of exhilaration or the heat of anger, and we leave a message and we say, oh God, I feel like such an idiot. I shouldn't have left that message. There's hope.
There is. #3. Before you hang up and you've left a voicemail for someone, you can press #3 and it will give you the opportunity to re-record the voicemail you just left. So it turns out that all 4 of the major carriers, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, AT&T, all use this same keystroke, #3, in the same way. So you can feel confident that if you're halfway through a message and you've screwed it up, you can hit #3 and it will give you the chance to re-record.
And you know what's really good about that, David? Because whereas to skip that outgoing message stuff that it always gives and hit one, you know, you say it's different. Some of them are one, some of them are pound, and some of them are number. or star and number or pound, but you have to do them in that order. But in this case, they all use the same one, the carriers.
That's exactly right. Yeah, don't get me started on those stupid how to leave a voicemail greetings that we listen to 15 seconds every time. You know,
exactly.
You may begin speaking at the tone. Shut up!
Come on.
Well, this sounds like a weird one. Carlos in Miami Beach. Not Carlos, but the idea. Carlos, go ahead.
I love the show, guys. I was just wanted to help anybody that was listening that might have been at a gas station with holding the handle, pumping the gas, because that little mechanism that keeps it locked.
Oh, yes. Isn't that exasperating?
Well, you could put your gas cap because that fits perfectly in there, and you don't have to be in there.
Oh, I love that. Oh, darn it. I wish that was in the book. I love that.
Is that in the book? Oh, I thought it would be in the book for sure. I'm glad then.
That's my kind of tip, man. I love that. So when the trigger lock piece of metal is missing, you can jam the gas cap in there to hold it open.
Right.
Well, new cars don't even have gas caps anymore, I think. So you have to maybe have, you know, an older car, but not the newest car, because now I think they don't even have caps. But, you know, for those other people, you know.
Yeah, there must be other things you could jam. What about your key fob or... You know, water.
Yeah, but the gas cap is perfectly. It's perfect. They're all the same. And unless you lost yours, and then you're out of luck.
That is awesome. Thank you. I love that one.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Carlos.
Love you guys.
All right. Next, we move to Marcy. Marcy, you're up. Hi.
Hi. Well, this isn't really that great a tip. I'm sure that's probably, it might even be in the book. It's probably very logical. But when a renter, well, you could do it as a home buyer, I suppose. But if you're a renter, you rent an apartment, before you move in, before you get to sign the lease, take pictures of everything, like even the minor things like chips on the door or chips in the wall or, you know, something is just kind of just a little bit askew. And make sure you might want to get those pictures over to the landlord or to the person you're buying the house from, so that if anything comes up that is a problem where they say, well, we can't return your money because, you know, this is damaged, that's damaged, and, you know, we didn't do that, you did. And, you know, you're actually out of money because it's their word against yours.
Okay.
That's another great use of that, yeah.
Okay, thanks, Marcy.
You're welcome.
Okay. And
next up, we have Jose in Boca. Boca Raton, Jose, hi.
Hey, how you doing? You know what? I was going to go back to the gas cap one. I bought myself one of those clamps from Home Depot in the Northeast. When I lived up there, it was so cold. I used those clamps, and it works perfect if you don't have a gas cap.
Oh, to hold the fuel gauge trigger, the fuel pump trigger?
Right. They're like $2. But anyway, what I was calling about is something that my dad taught to me when I was like 5, and I was too little in Panama. When the Coke bottles, the soda bottles with the twist caps, they get too tight, he taught me how to put it against between the door and the door jamb on the way that it's closing, use it as a lever, and then turn the bottle, and that would unscrew the gas cap.
That is awesome. I love that one.
I taught that to my wife the other day, and it blew her mind totally.
Run that by again.
Yeah.
So sometimes the bottles and the 2-liter bottles of soda, somebody may have screwed it too tight.
Yeah.
So you can't open it, especially when you're a 5-year-old. So you open the door, and you put it in between the door and the door jamb.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And you close the door with one hand, and the lever principle makes it, you know, so you can actually have a lot of force on the cap. And then you twist the bottle itself.
Right.
You're basically turning the doorway itself into a giant vise. And the beauty of it is that you've got your entire body weight to bring to bear on it rather than just your little hand. That is so clever. And you are very likely to have a doorway in your home.
Very likely. Okay. Thanks a lot, Jose.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
It's not totally unlike one that is in the book, which is how to open a jar. It's too tight, you can put a fat rubber band on the jar, and that amplifies your grip on it so much. My mom always would bang the jar lid.
That's dangerous.
On the floor. My wife uses a spoon, and she pries a tiny fraction of an inch of the metal lid away from the glass. And what that does is it lets in just enough air to release the vacuum seal, and that's what's holding you up.
What about a rubber glove?
Rubber glove will work also, same as the rubber band principle.
Okay, what about this one? I want to know, I really want to test this. Extending the life of an ink cartridge, really?
Yeah, this is for when you're running low. It gives you that out of ink message and you're in the middle of a print job. So a blow dryer, you use a hot air on that ink cartridge. You take it out of the printer, blow dry it, and the heat will loosen up the remaining, thin out the remaining ink and give you a few more pages before that ink cartridge is done.
That is so great. And do you have one more?
Dennis in Miami Springs. Hi there.
Yes, good afternoon. Long-time listener. I've been listening to LRM since Alice Day used to do her show.
We knew her well.
Yeah.
We know her well. She's still living.
Yes. Mr. Joseph Cooper, Dennis Whitlock. Anyway, the gas cap work things for sure. If you're sleepy, getting back to the sleepy and driving, take your shoes off. You talked about, you know, stimulation, you know, when you're driving or getting sleepy. Huh. Once you take, I used to drive straight truck for about 3.5 years. And that would work. You take your shoes off, and believe it or not, just that alone, that stimulation alone will help. I mean, it's not going to solve everything, but, of course, it helps a little bit.
That's really good. Yeah, that's excellent. That's along the same lines as somebody told me, put your seat straight ramrod up so it's uncomfortable to sit in it. Mm-hmm.
Especially in winter where your heater, the heat kind of makes you sleepy, and suddenly if you had a cold floor on your feet, it would really kind of wake you up.
Also, getting back to eating, it's not like we carry a grocery store with us, but, you know, with apples. Eating apples takes so much effort, you know, when you think about it.
Yeah.
That's
right. That's another more stimulation, more and movement, of course, is stimulation. So that's a great idea.
That's good.
I use a departure all the time.
Woo!
All right.
So, yeah, man. I live in Miami Springs. I pick up my family there from Puerto Rico all the time, and I tell them, hey, departure. You know, I'll meet you in departure.
Definitely.
Vindicated. All right,
folks. Yes.
Love the show.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Joseph Cooper.
Okay, thank Dennis.
You. Yes. Bye-bye.
Okay, so before we go, talk about the USB and how you know which side is up and the USB Type-C.
Oh, these are some of my favorite topics. So the USB jacks on our printer and camera and flash drives, as you know, it can go in the wrong way and it will not insert. So millions of people a day try to insert that into their computer and they guess wrong. And they're like, ugh, and they have to turn it the other way. It turns out you can see in advance on the bottom of a USB connector is a metal seam where the two halves of the silver metal come together. That seam is always on the bottom. So once you know that, from now on, just a glance at the connector tells you which way to put it in, and you won't guess wrong. This is happily soon to be a dead issue because there's now a new thing called USB-C that's already on the new laptops from Apple, Google, Samsung, Microsoft. The phones, tablets, laptops can all use the same thing, and it does three things. It's a power charger, it's data like a regular USB, and it's a video connector, all in one. So it means that our devices can get smaller and thinner, and there's no right side up. There's no end for end. It's the same. But people are calling it the Jesus jack. It's like this. It's this do-everything jack that's like magic. And the real beauty of it is, because the same thing works across all brands, there's no more drawers full of old black charging bricks. Right, your Dell laptop charger will work on my iPhone or whatever. So one charger to charge them
good
all.
For
this
that.
Is our
good for
our
that.
Future.
Well, that is so good. Glad I asked you. David Pogue, author, journalist, award-winning tech expert. He's on CBS Monday Morning since 2002. He's an Emmy winner. He's a Webby winner. And what else? He's written a new book, Pogue's Basics, Life. Essential tips and shortcuts that no one bothers to tell you for simplifying your day. We'll look for the next Pogue's Basics soon, David.
Thank you so much. This was a real blast.
Thank you.
And that wraps up today's program. Our lead producer, Richard Ives. Technical direction from online producer, Paul Leary. Polly Landis is associate producer. If you'd like to hear this program again, go to our website, WLRN.org. Tomorrow's program features a segment with Greg Von Hausen, who heads the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival and operates the Cinema Paradiso, Also, literary contributor Ariel Gonzalez with John Meacham, who's written a new biography of President Bush the Elder, the oldest living president. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now next from NPR News.